All right, go ahead and take your Bibles. 1 Samuel chapter 2. We're not going to be long tonight. I do want to say thank you. I know sometimes that's not easy, especially when you don't, maybe you haven't written out your thoughts, so you don't have you're not reading off a script in front of you. It takes a lot of guts, a lot of courage to be able to share things with other people, much less things that reach to our very inner core, to our spiritual heart. I want to notice tonight, you and I have sat here and we've heard some of what God has done during the midwinter retreat. And you've heard some illustrations tonight of some people who responded to God when He spoke to them. Sometimes we think and we maybe want to simplify things to the point where we say that when God speaks to us, you either respond to Him or you don't respond to Him. And what I want to do tonight is I want to look at, just very briefly, some alternate forms of responding to God. Okay? Now the things that we've heard tonight are people who have said, you know what, I've recognized that there's a shortcoming in my life. I recognize that there's a wrong thinking on my part in a certain area. And I'm submitting that to the Lord, recognizing that I need to change that. And there's a change that needs to happen in my life. And I want to be different because of it. And certainly that is the right response when the Lord speaks to us. But I think it's important for us to understand that sometimes our heart will deceive us. You know, you've had it as well as I've had it, where you've been sitting in a service before, maybe conviction has set in through the avenue of the Holy Spirit, and that is His ministry to you and I. He comforts us. He also convicts us. But you're sitting in a service, and He brings conviction about a certain topic. And really, when we get to that point, we're at a crossroads. We can do what I've been encouraged tonight by the testimonies where people have said, you know what, yes, Lord. You know what? Yes, Lord, that's me. I recognize I've sinned against you. I'm ready to change my thinking and who I am. I'm ready to move on with your help. But I think it's important for us to understand that sometimes we don't always do that. And sometimes our heart can deceive us into responding to God these four different ways. I want us to notice we're in 1 Samuel chapter 2. And I want us to see tonight that there are times when we may be confronted with truth and the Holy Spirit may tug at our heartstrings, and there may come a time when we're at that crossroads when we respond with denial. Responding with denial. I want to look at here an illustration of this. 1 Samuel chapter 2 in verse 12. I want you to see it says here, "Now the sons of Eli were sons of Belial. They knew not the Lord." Verse 13 and 14 goes on to describe the requirements that were placed upon them as being people who were involved in the priesthood. And there were certain requirements that were there. And the Bible says very specifically that they did not acknowledge these requirements. In fact, the Bible says so specifically and goes so far out as to say that they were sons of Belial, indicating here that these were not sons of God in terms of they recognize there is a heavenly Father that has that is an authority over me and in which I am subjection to Him. I live in subjection to Him. No, they did not recognize God as the authority in their lives. And so here they're confronted with truth, and they would have been because they are the sons of Eli, who is the high priest. They would have been well familiar with the ceremonial laws that would have been in place. They would have been well familiar with the instructions of who Jehovah God was and so forth and so on. And yet you find that they lived a life that denied who God was. I want you to notice here a little bit further on in 1 Samuel chapter 2. The Bible says, in chapter 3, as you get down a little bit further, you find that over a period of time, the Lord begins to talk to Eli about his sons. He says, "Listen, your sons are wayward. They deny me. They deny who I am. And yet they are in my office doing my work." And he said, "Because of that, they will be judged." Now, God gave ample opportunity to Hophni and Phinehas to turn from their wicked ways and to turn to the living God. But unfortunately, they didn't. And God prophesied their destruction. And what we have is two chapters later that we find that these deniers actually were consumed by the Lord. He killed them. Now, that's a horrible outcome for certain, and something that none of us would like to see happen to anyone. But the fact of the matter is, these are two individuals who were confronted point blank with truth. They were so confronted with truth that they would have had more access to truth than many other people would have in that day. And yet, when confronted with truth, they fell into denial. Now, I don't think that there's many people in our youth group that may be sitting under the preaching of teen time or on a midwinter retreat would be at this place. This is a little bit more extreme for an individual to hear the preaching of God, be confronted with truth and say, well, I don't believe that. You know, oh, what are you saying about what's he saying about? I don't believe that. That's, you know what? I don't believe the Bible. That's an extreme position to be in. But yet it is a response that people have. And I just want to challenge you tonight that the Bible is not neutral. It's not. And you and I can't be neutral to Christ, and we can't be neutral to truth. Truth invokes a decision. And so we see here one of the responses, one of the wrong decisions, the wrong responses to truth, is represented in Hophni and Phinehas, that of denial. Let me give you another one here. And this one we see in Matthew chapter 7. Go ahead, follow me over there. So some would respond with denial, but some would respond by passing the buck. Matthew chapter 7, I want us to go there. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 3. Look at what it says. Jesus is speaking here. And he says, why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Okay, so what you have here is a group of people who were listening to truth and were pointing fingers. Okay, now maybe you have been in a service before when you've been confronted with truth and immediately you started thinking about someone else who needed to hear that. Okay, understand that sometimes our heart is so good at passing the buck. You know, boy, I hope so-and-so is listening. You know, man, I hope she is listening because that girl needs this more than anybody in this room. You know, you better be careful. Okay, that's a wrong response. A right response says, you know what, Lord, I may be in need of this truth. Lord, the truth is, I struggled with this on the inside. Some respond by passing the buck. Passing the buck, the idea of waiving responsibility or passing responsibility to someone else. This individual thinks about others before themselves. This person maybe even blames others for what they've done personally. You know, here's a situation that I'm convicted of, but really it's not my fault. It's their fault. They made me do it. They pushed me to it. It's a wrong response. You have over here Hophni and Phinehas. It's bold. It's brash. It's just denial. Hey, I don't believe that. That's not true. I think most of us wouldn't be in this category tonight. But maybe there's some in here tonight that maybe all of us are affected by this a little bit, in which we have heard preaching before and we've automatically not gone to our own needs. We've gone to the needs of other people. Boy, if only my parents were in this service tonight, they could hear this truth. Boy, if only my sibling were old enough to be up here and to hear what's being said right now. Oh, we got to be careful. Two different responses. Let me show you another response here. Some respond with denial when it comes to truth. Some respond by passing the buck or shifting responsibility to someone else. Number three, some respond by trying to delegitimize the work of God. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. I want you to see this. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, I want us to notice a verse here in verse 2. If you've been following along in our devotions together, you would be working through the book of 2 Corinthians, and I hope that you've been doing that. But notice 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 2. Paul says this, "Receive us. We have wronged no man. We have corrupted no man. We have defrauded no man." Now, let me ask you a question. Why do you think the Apostle Paul is having to tell this to the Corinthian believers? Why do you think that he is very pointedly saying this about he and his ministry to others? Anybody have an idea? Generally speaking? Anybody? No? Well, most likely it was because there were some people that were accusing him of quite the opposite. There were some people who were accusing him of wronging people or having people's worst interests in mind. He says, "We've corrupted no man. We have defrauded no man." You know, there were some people that were working against Paul. And really, who backs that? You know, well, Satan. Satan doesn't like anything that has the stamp of God on it, or the work of God on it. So Satan would like to stir up anything that he could as far as opposition goes. And so undoubtedly, there were people who were saying, "Listen, hey, don't listen to the Apostle Paul. He's a little crazy. Okay? Hey, don't listen to that guy. I mean, you know, he killed Christians, and now you're going to let him come into your church and preach to you? Well, I don't know if he's completely honest. I mean, have you seen the way that he travels around? I mean, he just looks a little shady." And then what were people doing? They were trying to delegitimize his ministry in order to destroy the message. And so I would just say this, and that is, there are some people who respond to truth by delegitimizing the work of God. And they do that by attacking the church. You know, sometimes maybe they look at Paul's ministry and they say, "Well, you know, he's this or that, and this is my judgment about him." And so it affects the way they perceive truth. You know, maybe somebody says, you know, "Hey, that church, they don't love people there, or they just want your money, or hey, everyone there is fake." And so these are the responses out of a person that is just working as hard as they can to delegitimize the truth that is coming in full force at them. You know, sometimes that takes the form of attacking the character of a church. But sometimes that takes the form of attacking a speaker. You know, I've seen people pick apart a speaker because they were under great conviction in their heart. You know, I'll never forget being tempted to do this when I was, I think I was an upperclassman, and I was at Nationals at Bob Jones University. And I don't even remember who the speaker was now, but I remember sitting there in the auditorium, and I enjoyed the preaching. I always enjoyed them having special speakers in and that sort of thing. And at some point in the message, the gentleman began talking about guys' hair. And, you know, I've always sort of had this little flip up in the front, you know, and it works for me. But he started talking about hairstyles. And he started talking about people who look like they just ran smack into a wall. And, you know, I started taking a little bit of offense to that. You know, he said, you know, some of these guys, their hair just smacks straight up, you know, and I got friends that are kind of looking down at me, and I'm like, okay, all right. You know, they're laughing, and everybody in the auditorium was having a good time, but you know what? Down deep inside of me, you know what was going on? I was forming a case against this guy. And I'm telling you what, I was ready to take him on. But you know what? I stopped for a second. I just thought, you know what? The devil would like nothing more than the only thing for me to get out of this message is that I look like I ran into a wall. So I had to be able to swallow my pride a little bit. But I'll tell you what, I do remember the rest of that week just being something special as far as the services went. But you know what? As I look back on that time, the Lord really taught me just how easily I can be offended by other people's words. Hey, can I tell you something? at some point, you're going to be disappointed with me as a speaker. I'm a human being, and I apologize for that, okay? I wish I was angelic like my wife, okay? Yeah, I know. Points, yes. But the truth is that, you know, the devil would like us in here to lock in on something that some little tidbit that was said in order to just make that the overarching theme of the retreat. But can I tell you, that's a wrong response. Right response says, Lord, I need to be able to sift through. Lord, I need to be able to swallow my pride. Lord, I need to be able to focus on what it is you have for me right here and now and not miss it. That's a right response. Let's look at the next response really quickly. Number one, some people respond with denial. They respond with passing the buck. They respond by trying to delegitimize the work of God in order to keep themselves from being convicted in regards to truth. Let me give you the final thing here. Some respond by excusing themselves. Hey, you don't have to turn there. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 8. The Bible says, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? Down on verse 14, it says, your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. Yet ye say, what have we spoken so much against thee? What's happening here is some dialogue between the Lord and this group of people who had neglected the Lord in a variety of ways. And in this dialogue, you don't find a spirit of humility and willingness and submissiveness on the part of Israel. You find the opposite. Their defenses are up. Their defensive mechanisms are at work here. And immediately they start excusing themselves. They start giving excuses to the Lord as to why He's wrong and why they are right. Can this happen to us? Well, it absolutely can. Because our heart can be sometimes very wicked. Listen, we don't have the time to read it tonight, but if you want to see a Bible response to God, a response that is bar none, one of the best ones you can see in Scripture, is to, in your personal time, read Psalm 51. You will find the heart of a man that is broken over his sin, that is humble before God, that is not passing the buck, that is not shifting the blame, that is not denying the truth, but someone who is humbly acknowledging that he has done wrong. Listen, can I tell you that that is the only way to respond to God? And when you and I respond to the Lord that way, well, I'll tell you, He furnishes a garden in our lives. You know, maybe there's some in this room tonight that throughout the course of the retreat, unbeknownst to the person sitting next to you, in front of you, or behind you, there's been a battle going on in your heart over truth. Maybe you've just downright denied it. Maybe you've been at a place where you're pointing fingers. Can I encourage you during this invitation to take the truth of God seriously? If He's convicted you about something, don't put it off. Humbly come to Him, seek His forgiveness, and move on. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank You for the responses, really the warnings that we can see in Scripture, Lord, of people who have responded poorly. Lord, we don't want to be that. Lord, we understand tonight that we are responsible for a lot of truth. Most of us heard 7 to 8 different messages over the past 3 days of the retreat. And Lord, we understand that to whom much is given, much shall be required. Oh God, I pray that there would not be one heart in this room that would be deceived. Lord, if there is a heart that is hard among us, I pray that You would break it. And Lord, that repentance and humility would be sought with tears. Lord, I thank you for the ones tonight that we have heard of, Lord, that have responded to you in a positive light. Lord, I pray that you would uplift them. Oh God, would you help them as they seek daily victory? Lord, may they continue to grow in you. Lord, I pray that as we have this invitation time, Lord, and heads are bowed, eyes are closed, and we're just still for but just a few moments together, Lord, I pray that each heart, each soul would do what is necessary. And we'll give you the glory. In your name we pray. Amen. Let's just sit quietly together as the pianist plays. If the Lord's worked in your heart, you need to come to the altar. Feel free to do that. Say, Brother Scott, I've heard a lot of messages, and my response was not always that of humility and repentance. Well, tonight is the night for you to seek it. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for the truths that we've seen tonight. Lord, help us to live and walk with you the rest of this week. In your name we pray. Amen.